All right, Gene, are you ready to be counted in?
Oh, yeah.
Ready in 5, 4, 3, 2.
Yeah. Hey, yeah, yeah. Where my mom's, where my mom's, where my mom's at? Where my mom's wearing thongs, hitting bongs at? Raising kids, cleaning shits, need a long nap. Where my mom's, where my mom's, where my mom's at?
Where my mom's at podcast with Christina P.
What's up? Come see me do stand-up live in Des Moines, Iowa, April 9th through 11th, and then Phoenix, Arizona, April 23rd through 24th, just two nights, and then one night only, May 6th in West Palm Beach, Florida, at the Improv, July 15th through 17th, San Antonio, Tejas. Oh, and before that, June 11th and 12th, I am in Salt Lake City, Short Lake Titties, Puta, and then in July, Liberty Township, Ohio, Oklahoma City, and that's, and then Orlando, Florida. There you go. Tickets, ChristinaPOnline.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
So much to get into. You know, I just want to thank Dion for coming on last week. If you missed his episode, you really missed a banger, man. I mean, we laughed, we cried. We discussed everything, dude. He has quite a Where My Dad's At story. And it was very moving for everybody, myself included. I cried like a baby. And just what a great lesson in resilience and what a great person. So there you go. Dion, thank you for being on the show last week.
Yeah, he was incredible.
I mean, were you not just moved by that story?
He was one of my favorite guests that I think we've ever had on a podcast. Ugh. It's like, it was such a breath of fresh air of someone that just like gets the mommy universe and
that
and,
too.
Like, brings what he brought, you know?
I know. I know, I'm like tearing up just thinking about that story. But really brings me into resilience being the core theme in my life right now, particularly because, I mean, I don't know if you've heard of this cool show, but there's a new show called Cobra Kai, and I might be a couple years late to the game, people, but it is so good, and I feel like such a nerd alert for loving it. It's on Netflix now. I know originally it was a YouTube show, and I watched the first episode. I was like, and then I really am deep into it. And I know, Nadav, you're a huge fan, too, of
Fuck
Cobra Kai.
Yeah, dude.
Okay, now, first of all, which dojo will you be practicing karate in, training in?
I mean, Cobra Kai.
Obviously.
Oh, gee, I don't want to, you know, what's his name? Ralph Macchio?
Yeah, Miyagi-Do.
Yeah.
It's for just nerds. Like, for nerds.
The fact that he's, like, still doing, incorporating that into the car dealership stuff,
oh,
it's just
God.
Like, bro, grow up.
Grow a pair.
Just grow up.
Just grow up, move on. But then again, you could say the same of Cobra Kai. Like, he's still repping the same style that he had back in the day.
Yeah, but I mean, at least he's compensating with booze, you know? Yeah. That I get. That's so, how you deal with stuff like an adult.
I know. Here's why I love Cobra Kai. You know, obviously, as a Gen Xer, I grew up watching Karate Kid incessantly. So did you watch the original movie growing up?
Yeah.
Nadav? Yeah. Great movie.
Only the original.
Yeah, just the first. The other ones were, I like, tuned out, but that movie swept America. When it came out, everybody enrolled in karate, myself included. That's when I beat up that kid in my class. I defended myself, I should say. And everybody wore those crappy shoes, the karate shoes. They buy them at the swap meet.
Oh, yeah, that like isolate the thumb, the big thumb toe.
No.
Ninja shoes.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
No, I'm talking about these crappy swap meet shoes my dad would buy me. They're white canvas, and then, like, the bottom is made out of a faux sole. That's it. Those are shitty.
Oh, the Bruce Lee shoes.
Yeah.
See, I'm thinking of these, the ninja shoes.
Yeah, those are dope. Those are dope.
Hell yeah, dude.
That's not even what I'm talking. I'm talking just, like, straight-up Valley swap meet kung fu shoes, dude. And yeah, those are them, but like white. You got white because like my gi was white. And I love Cobra Kai because as a Gen Xer, I love the message of fuck you, put a fucking brick in it. I don't care if you're a nerd. I don't care if you're fat. I don't care if you're, you've got a fucking cleft lip. You're going to be cool. And Cobra Kai, yes, in the past he was evil. We know that his sensei wasn't cool. He had problems, but this Cobra Kai is different because what it does is teach kids to be a badass, but not necessarily be evil and like hurt other people, which is what I'm all about. So there's this. So what I love is like, first of all, the sensei is the blonde guy who was, okay, look, what's his name in real life? It's like John.
Right?
Johnny. Now, as a young girl watching Karate Kid, I wasn't Team Johnny back then. I was Ralph Macchio all the way, right? Obviously, I had a crush on Ralph Macchio. Now, as a middle-aged woman, it's fucking Johnny Lawrence all day, dude. Like, it's kind of what happened to me when I watched Star Wars, and I went from loving Luke Skywalker to loving, what's his name? The badass?
Han Solo.
It's like you grow up and you're like, oh, dude. Yeah, William Zabka. I mean, could he be any cuter now? And I'm not into blonde men. I'm not into the blue-eyed, blonde Aryan look dudes. But, I mean, he looks fucking great. And he's like 10 years older than me and he looks amazing. But what I do love about Cobra Kai is the message of like, hey, dude, the world is not going to conform to what you want it to be always. Sometimes, yeah, you'll luck out, but guess what? It's not going to happen for you. So if you are a nerd, if you are overweight, if you are these things, like you better learn to fight back, to toughen up, to have a line, to have a fucking yo mama comeback or whatever it is. That's what we did. Yeah. Okay. So best example. And also he tortures the students with, he's like, you look like a fucking pussy. Like he's mean to kids, which is
that's what hooked me.
It's the best. Yeah. My favorite is when he takes a call and he's like, yeah, I teach karate to boys and girls. Gender what? And like, he's so out of touch. He doesn't have a computer. He doesn't have an iPhone. He has nothing. And he's like, yeah, put that on the internet. Like, he's totally checked out.
It's like an 80s movie becomes self-aware in real time what decade it's in, which is amazing
phenomenal
to watch.
And now it's like just a karate soap opera. Like, I'm into season three, and it's just a stupid karate soap opera, and I love it.
Oh yeah, because it's just like teenagers, like relationships and dating, which is like your steez.
Yeah, the first season I was all about just like the old school meets new school. I love that. I love the nostalgia of the 80s. I love the music. I love his car, and he's like, dude, I'm just badass. And he's like, dude, in the 80s, did you, you know, whatever, go do karate or whatever. He's like, dude, I was bagging babes and drinking. I was like, exactly, that's what we did. Gen X did that. We were just getting ripped and partying and not being fucking nerds, bro. Like, so what I love, there's this character, what's his name originally we were talking about, the kid with the cleft palate?
Fuck, I don't even remember.
I don't remember his real name.
I mean,
Eli?
I know the first bad name that he made fun of him with. It was Lip. He called him Lip.
Okay, yeah. So he's like, so Google the guy, the character, the original. I think his name is Eli. And he's this kid who has a cleft palate. And so he's got a scar from when they repaired it. And he's like, you know.
Yeah, Eli, you nailed it.
Yeah, I have a good memory for stuff that I care about. Isn't that amazing? You talk Cobra Kai, you're going to hear some shit. Okay. So he's a nerd and he's got this palette and he has his head down and then he goes into Cobra Kai's studio and the mean teacher is like, what's up, Lip? And everybody is like, oh, you hurt his feelings.
I was like that too when I saw him.
Really?
I was like, holy shit, he's making fun of his cleft lip. That's fucking wild.
Yeah, but everybody else, the point being that everyone else in this kid's world is too. So you can wish that the world is going to be enlightened and woke and fucking with it and not make fun of you. But guess what, bitch? It's going to happen. So his advice, the karate master, the sensei, his advice to this kid with the cleft palate, he's like, dude, you got to like do something cooler, like do something extreme, like get a face tattoo or like... He's like, right? Doesn't he tell him? He's like, get a face tattoo or like get a crazy haircut.
Something to distract from that fucked up lip of yours.
Yes. And so you see this character, Eli, he starts, you know, he cries and he runs out of the dojo And then lo and behold, he comes back like a week later and he looks like this. And he's got a fucking mohawk. And he goes, he's like, what's up? Whoa, Eli. He's like, it's not my name. My name's Hawk. And then he pulls down his gi and he's got a hawk tattoo. And he's like, ha-ha! Like he does.
Like a full back tattoo.
It's, and he's like 15.
He's in high school. That's a wild move for high school.
Yeah. And instantly my heart went pitter patter. And I was like, is this wrong? But I'm having feelings for like a 15-year-old kid with a mohawk and some swag, you know, like, yo, he has got swagger, right? And this whole, now I'm watching Eli. Oh, don't do Google babies with cleft palates. I'm going to start.
No, that's in the, sorry.
But like, so now I'm watching Hawk and his evolution on the show and I'm falling in love with him, like slowly. Can you Google this actor's name so that I don't feel like a total pedophile? Like, am I? Oh, I don't want to see him. Yeah, Jacob Bertrand's his name. Ugh, and he's just so dreamy because he's such a super badass.
Whoa, look at him without a cleft lip.
He's
actually a normal person.
Gorgeous.
Now,
okay.
Christina. Yeah. Now, this is some. Isn't this discriminatory where they're taking roles away from actors with cleft lips, cleft palates? Right. This is unfair.
Well,
it's 2021.
Cancel Cobra Kai. Of course. This is an ableist thing, right? That we're encouraging people to play things that they really aren't. It would be considered acting. So he was born on 2000, March 6th. Wait. Oh, he just had his birthday. So he's 21. Is that right? Is that my math?
Just about,
Chris,
yeah.
Chris Larson.
Happy birthday, Jacob.
Good news. He's in his 20s, at least, so I can have a crush on him. I don't feel like a total sicko pervert. I have a crush on all these boys, except for Ralph Macchio, which is interesting. Now he's kind of a neutered goody-goody with his wife in the car dealership. Yeah, it's interesting how times they change. But Ralph Macchio, let me tell you, that kid, he was 22 years old when he played the Karate Kid. Look
Whoa,
at him.
He was 22?
Yeah, I believe 20 or 20. Like, he was old as fuck.
He looked so fucking cool back then, too.
And it's funny because when you look at teen idols back then, look how skinny and little he is. Like, hello, now they're, like, ripped. Like, oh, my God. Here's another, oh, my God. And there's another cute boy in there. Robbie. Oh, if I would have gone to school with Robbie... Dude, first of all, he's in...
Oh, yeah, this fucking
Oh,
guy.
My God. He's 22. I looked him up. If I had gone to high school with this boy, yo, I would have been pregnant a long time ago. Let me tell you, I would have done this podcast from high school.
How little would he need to do to bag you?
This kid? Yo, can I tell you what I love about this kid, this Cobra Kai kid? This is every skater boy I was obsessed with in junior high. This Robbie, because he's got like the skater boy 90s hair and he's got that like kind of dopey thing where he doesn't close his mouth all the way ever. Oh, I thought he had braces at first, but it was just that he's just goofy. Like he doesn't close his mouth. I don't care how dumb he is. I'd be like, I don't care. Just let's Cobra Kai, bro. Let's do karate. I'd be like, come over. Show me that leg sweep again, Robbie.
Take the leg, Robbie.
Take my leg. Put it over my shoulder, Robbie. I mean, isn't he just a dream? That's a teen idol. So that's what I'm telling you. This is the difference between Ralph Macchio, skinny ass Ralph Macchio, and the guy who plays Robbie, who's this guy's a hunk and he's 22. So times they have changed, or our sex symbols have changed. Ooh, and there's the ultra bad sensei. I didn't like that he came back. It bothers me.
Well, no, because I think Johnny Lawrence started off as the first bad guy.
Yeah.
And this is what I like about Cobra Kai, is that instead of making that character better, they were like, let's just introduce someone that's way worse than him.
Yeah.
So now he becomes the hero and doesn't have to change that much.
Well, he still changes, Nadav. I mean, the change is slight, but it is gradual and it is there. So please... Give Johnny a second chance. I feel like you're not giving him a chance.
Oh, yeah, right. Because by the middle of the second season, he's like, my car isn't the most important thing to me anymore.
Yeah.
I like these relationships that I'm developing.
Look, Johnny is limited, okay? Emotionally limited. but that's okay because physically he's hot and he's got a cool car. And he bags all the babes. So that was my obsession, Cobra Kai. I'm just, it's just such a nice walk down memory lane and such a great message for kids, which is just kick the shit out of somebody, you know? And bullying is not going to go away. Because if you even if it's online and then you tell the kids not to do that, it's just part of life, you know? What right. are you going to say, Native?
Just grow a mohawk, right?
Grow a mohawk. Yeah, dude. And kick some ass and be badass. I think that would solve everybody's problems. Like just, but the whole point is like, even if you're like weird, you can still be badass and weird. That's the whole point is like, just be a fucking badass. We should all go to Cobra Kai Dojo.
Ooh, that could be a good team building exercise for Studio Jeans.
Yeah. I'd love to see you do karate, Nadav.
What? How do you mean?
I just think it'd be really funny to see you doing karate.
Why funny? What would be funny about that?
What's the, like, are you athletic at all? Have you done anything athletic in your life?
Yeah, I'm strong as shit, dude. Why is that funny? Why are you laughing?
Wait, what sport have you done? Like wrestling?
I did soccer growing up. I did some basketball in college. I did a lot of jiu-jitsu, beat the shit out of all my friends. What's up?
Okay, jiu-jitsu, because Joey Diaz does jiu-jitsu.
Uh-huh.
Which leads me to believe that you don't have to be in good shape.
You're wrong.
To jiu-jitsu.
Well, no, you don't have to be in good shape to do jiu-jitsu. You do have to be in good shape to beat all the people that you're training with. Oh. I mean, not in good shape, but, you know, you know what you're doing.
Wow.
Okay.
Jiu-jitsu.
All right.
Do you do, like, jumping jacks to warm up and stuff?
No. No, we do beach jiu-jitsu. So we, like, you know, we just, like, kind of crawl on your back and fucking, you know, you kind of, like,
beach
do crunches and shit on the sand and stuff.
Okay. I didn't realize.
What's up?
You're so passionate.
I'm strong as shit, dude. What's up?
Okay. also, for my Gen Xers and my Gen X adjacent people who are down with us, Kid 90, I'm watching that documentary on Hulu. It's with Soleil Moonfry, who played Punky Brewster. And if anybody wants to know what it was like to be a kid in the 90s, by kid, I mean like your adolescence. It is 100%. What it was like watching her childhood, because she grew up in LA, it could have been superimposed with my adolescence as well. It was nice to see people before everybody recorded everything, you know, like you can even see how people talk and act. Like it's different before everybody was under surveillance all the time and just doing a bunch of drugs and hanging out and the music. Perry Farrell's in the documentary, which is like, he's the icon of the 90s too. It was a great time because it really was before people started scrutinizing each other for like this nonsense that we're doing right now. There was a freedom. There was space to dream and to be bored and to exist without like knowing what everyone else was doing at all times. Oh, there's Brian Austin Green. So Brian Austin Green, remember, was on BH9. And it's so funny because I guess I remember too when this happened, like he came out with a rap album at some point and he got hated so much for it. And in the documentary, he's like, yeah, I guess there was a time I realized that, yeah, just everybody hates me. Everybody hates me. It's like, oh my God, this poor guy. Like, can you imagine? Could you just imagine knowing that everybody hates you? And it's not just a suspicion. Like, he was getting trashed, like his music. And
wait, why did everyone hate him?
So this is before white rappers really existed. There was like Vanilla Ice and the Beastie Boys, and they were kind of still clowned. Like, it wasn't cool. And so Brian Austin Green was known for being an actor on Beverly Hills 90210, and he was a child actor. And then he came out with a hip hop album. And yeah, like, I know, it's a recipe for disaster.
Was that Dylan? Was that his character's name?
No, Dylan was a different guy. Luke Perry.
Oh.
Gosh, God, I have such a good memory for this stuff.
It's wild that you said BH9. And I was just like, what the fuck is
it's
that?
The 90, if you're a fan. BHers, BH9, duh. God, what do you fucking know? Nerd alert. So he releases this hip hop album and it just gets trashed. And like, I remember it coming out and I remember my friends and I being like, fucking nerd. And like, but they set him up. They set him up because he would be on BH9 and they'd be like, They'd be like, David, that was his character's name. David, you should rap at the house party. And then, like, he's a kid. He's, like, 14 or 15. And then he raps on, like, Beverly Hills 90210. It's so embarrassing. Because you know how uncool that is, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Super not cool.
It's just not, it's not cool. It's not cool. Anyways, he got a bunch of, it was just funny to see him be like, everybody hates me. I know it. I mean, he seems cool as shit now. Like, I'm sure he's gotten over it. Yeah, but I it's not like the 90s were some magical decade. It was just the decade, it was before surveillance, before, it was the last analog decade. So you really look at it now and you go like, wow, like you could just exist. You just existed and there were no, you know, you took a photograph of yourself maybe twice a year. Maybe I have like two photos of me from the 90s. And
it's, right, you'd have to go get it developed.
Yeah. So, or yeah, and Polaroid film was really expensive. So if you had a Polaroid camera, you were really like precious about your photos. And yeah, it was expensive and it was hard. And so you really valued every photograph that you took. So I just remember like just feeling like I definitely had a richer internal world in the 90s, because there was more space for it. Like I wake up and I look at my phone and I look at emails and I look at Instagram and I look at TikTok, and that's what occupies my mind. Whereas there was a time when like I would wake up and just think human thoughts.
Oh yeah.
Uh-huh. It's weird.
No, yeah. Like I feel like I would like when I'd watch a show, I'd retain it and comprehend it for longer.
Right. Like you would enjoy it.
Right. And then these days it's like I watch something and then I was like, have I ever seen that? And then, like, you watch, like, a scene from, like, oh, wait, did I see this? And it was like you saw it maybe a month ago.
Yeah.
And you just don't retain it because you just constantly just so much stuff that you're intaking.
That's such a good insight. Yeah. Or even as I devour the Cobra Kai episodes, you're like, one episode's over. Oh, the next one's coming. Thank God. Now I don't have to sit with the emptiness of this being done.
Right. You're not rethinking about the episode for the entire week until the next one.
Exactly. But there needs to be like that refractory period after you see something that moves you. Like you have to sit and digest it and think about it. Like when I watched that fucking Jessica Biel show.
Seventh Heaven.
No. You say that like Rice Aroni. It's not.
No, that's how the theme song goes.
Seventh Heaven.
That was my BH9.
Your BH9. Yeah. That show was cornier than BH9. That was corny as fuck. Weren't they all like church kids?
Hold on. You're judging Seventh Heaven, and you're saying BH9 is where it's
fuck,
at.
Bro.
It's the shit. It's the same shit, dog. There's
it
not
is
the
not
one thing that's
the same shit.
Yes, it is, homie.
Donna Martin Heaven. Graduates, and Seventh Heaven was for nerds. BH9 was for like really cool. Okay. Wait, but what's that show that I watched with Jessica Biel that I brought up, and you guys were like, "Oh, that's like TBS. That's not even real. Scary." Or
what
crime? It was
show?
A crime show. The Savage. The
it was a
Sinner.
New one, right?
The Sinner. Look up The Sinner. Oh my God! This show, I watched this over the course. Oh my! It traumatized me because I don't watch these murder killery shows. I just don't. And I watched The Sinner the first season, and I was so affected and so moved by the story and her acting and.
She's the shit, dude.
She's amazing. She's so talented. And that's what it felt like in the 90s, where like and also when you think about how you consumed entertainment. So in that decade, you had a TV like a TV show you like. For instance, Friends was huge. My roommates loved Friends. So every Thursday night at 8 o'clock or whenever it was, they'd get in the kitchen and they would watch Friends. And you would get one episode and then you would enjoy that episode, ha ha ha, maybe watch the show after that, and then you turn the television off and it was like time to drink and smoke and talk shit. And you know what I mean? Like you digested things, you let them rest, and now I feel like my brain is always dialed into content.
Right.
Like, right? I'm always dialed into...
And you're never in sync with someone else.
Right.
Because like, remember, did you ever do this shit where you'd like watch, there's a show that you and your friend loved, and then you'd call each other like during the commercial break?
Yes!
Yeah, there was a couple shows that I would do that
like,
with, you know?
Oh my God, dude, no way. Did you see that? It was so fucking lame or what? Yeah.
Right.
I know. It's
wild
funny.
Stuff.
Tom mentioned that like on some podcast, he had mentioned a couple of shows he was into and he said that people were so thankful to get a recommendation for a show because there's such a glut of content now. We were on one of the platforms last night, and I was like, dude, that movie was made in 2020. Never heard of it. Never heard of it. What's that? What is that? What is that? Like, there's no way to sift through all the content that's being created right now.
Right.
It's just so different. Everything's streaming.
Yeah.
It's like,
you're thinking, you're like, man, there's nothing good out. It's like, no, there's just too much stuff, and it's like the good stuff is buried deep.
Yeah.
In a platform, and like, not until a friend recommends it will it even get on your radar, you know?
That's right, because there's so much of it. It's not like back in, you know, when we had television channel 2, 4, 7, 11, 13, right? That's what I grew up on. And you knew the lineups. Like, what's on? Oh, yeah, have you seen that sitcom? It's on Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday. Like, you all had a common...
must-see TV.
Yeah. What's fascinating, too, I watched... was it CBS? What were they? Oh, it was the Grammys?
Survivor?
No, it was like, it was some massive TV show. And they're like, watch it on CBS and then watch it streaming. And I was like, oh, shit. Streaming killed a television star. Yeah, video killed a radio star. And now streaming, what this is killing television. It's a whole new...
Well, because it used to be that everyone was in sync with each other, and now everyone's on their own schedule, so they can't even... Like, it's just hard to even connect on stuff that you used to be able to connect on.
I know. I think that's why it's so great when mommies get to meet each other, like fans of the Studio Jeans shows. I think that's part of the reason we're... Like, it's such a great community of people. Like, oh, you like that? Oh my God. Like, it means so much. Cause you're like, oh, if I know your personality, if you like this shit. Yeah.
Right. Cause it's like, oh, if you like this, then I could trust your taste.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Then and probably you're probably a cool person. Mm-hmm. I'm just being a little subjective there. So, okay. Most importantly, follow-ups. Now I am overwhelmed. By the amount of support I am getting on throwing my flossers next to the bed. I just want to thank everybody for acknowledging that my husband's habits are far grosser than mine. And you guys can submit those trash cans. You guys have. A lot of you, too, have been against me and say I should throw in a trash can. I've deleted all those emails. So thank you so much for that feedback. Do you have any other thoughts on my flossing routine? Have you finally come around?
Of course not. No, it's like, I can't believe, like, how much money did you pay everyone that voted in the poll that we did on YouTube?
Stop.
No, because it's like, I don't believe that the majority of people think picking boogers, which everyone does, is grosser than flossing your teeth and then just throwing the flossers wherever the fuck that you'll step on. You're creating a bedlam of bacteria your bed.
Yana, first of all, I'm not throwing the flossers just anywhere. I'm throwing them in my little alleyway next to my bed and the wall. So
have you stepped on one yet?
No, because I know where to throw them. I throw them close to the bed.
You know where to throw them.
Right there. I don't step on them. Ugh.
Nasty as hell. Like, even today, like we just did one episode, right?
Yeah.
And then I gotta go to the bathroom real quick. And then I'm like, okay, well, we're gonna change the set over. And I look, and like, your headphones, the thing that goes in your ears is just the only thing touching the floor.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what are you doing? Like, you know this is going in your butt. Like, what?
Yeah.
It's so dirty. You're putting such dirty shit, like, in sensitive places.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me tell you something. Resilience. I'm very strong. You know what I did growing up? I used to play with my bicycle in the L.A. River. You know what the L.A. River is?
Yeah, it's our sewer system.
It's our sewage system. It ain't no fucking river, okay, native? So I'm strong, okay?
Yeah.
Resilient.
I know, but I don't know, man.
Resilience.
You're nasty as hell. Just don't do it anymore.
I'll do what I want when I want. I'm going to do what the fuck I want. I'm an adult. So a lot of you are saying things like, get a trash can that goes on top of your nightstand, look up desktop trash can, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, go fuck yourselves, okay? Oh, here we go. Hearing you talk about dropping your flossers.
Ooh, look at this one. It looks like books.
No.
It looks like
I don't
books.
Like any of that. I ain't doing it. Okay. My boyfriend has zero regard for keeping his side of the bed clean. He even just leaves the nightstand drawer wide open. 100% of the time. We got him a small trash can, but as you can see from the attached picture, it is barely visible. It fills up and overflows with within days. Candy wrappers, sparkling water cans.
Christina, you're saying that the side of your bed doesn't look like this?
Not at all.
It looks worse.
Okay, I'll take a picture of my side of the bed. I took a picture of a flosser on the floor because I'm still defiant. I'm going to fucking do it. That's other level. I am not that bad.
Right, because you only throw one kind of trash and not every kind of trash, right?
Yo, this guy's got hoarder all over it. That's hoarding. That's like level fucking two hoarding.
Would you say that there's about that much space in between your bed and the wall?
Yeah, a little bit less.
And you're saying that there's not enough space for a trash can?
I don't want one. I don't want to sleep next to a trash can next to my head.
Christina, you're already doing it. You're already sleeping next to an open trash contain. Like, the floor is the trash. That's what you're doing. You have a floor-sized trash can next to your bed.
Okay. Hold on. Listen to this, the rest of the email. Recently, the trash filled his entire alleyway, but he had to clean for our annual landlord walk. It took 4 garbage bags to get rid of everything. The photo is his new accumulation in the past month. I've given up cleaning it myself, and since I have no reason to venture to his side of the bed, I let him live with it. It is literally the only 8 feet of space I do not clean in the house, but I love him too much to let it bother me anymore. It's great that Tom seems to love you enough to allow this behavior as well, but he would probably appreciate the hell out of you being proactive and at least getting a small trash can. Don't start a bigger trash collection by adding a paper bag. God damn it. I support you living your life to the fullest, but please think of your partner, your children, your fur babies, and the home they share. Piss on me, beat me, Megan. You know what, Megan? This is an amazingly disastrous photo. Thank you for sharing this. I'm nowhere near this bad. And let me tell you, you guys don't think I fucking put up with Segura's lack of hygiene for the last 15 years. I have put up with filthy whiskers in my sink, hands.
That's so not a point.
Hands that touch his balls and then touch my face. I have put up with streaks in the toilet bowl of brown. You name it. So if this is my one little transgression of a hygienic foible, a little hygienic thing, you know what I mean? Give me some slack. Shit.
Christina, everything that you just listed off is something that like happens in every household. You've never
women.
Left streaks in the toilet?
I try not to.
But you've done it, right?
I mean, accidentally. I like to make sure there are no streaks in my toilets. I try to check. I don't like leaving them. That's what that fucking brush is for.
But you're intentionally just throwing shit.
It's my side of the bed, Nadav. I can do as I please. It is my side of the bed. Enough. Stop hygiene shaming me. You know, you guys are just so uninclusive with your fucking hygiene shame problem. Okay,
what do you mean uninclusive? I was like, let me buy you trash can.
You're not inclusive. You're trying to change me. I'm a hygiene deficient person, and I am struggling. Please.
No, it's for your own good, though. Like you said, change is the best tool, or shame is the best tool for change, right? Okay. Positive change.
Okay.
I whiten my teeth.
Oh, God. Okay. You whiten your teeth. That's true. That's a good one. I don't see anything wrong with my habit. Now, most importantly, this was a real hot topic issue of small penises. I asked you ladies to write in, our men, who prefer a small penis, because we thought to ourselves, surely there can't be one. Annie was like, there's no way. There's a woman out there. And I said, there's someone for everyone. Here we go. Here's some emails of, and there's a voicemail too about it.
Yeah, something really close to it.
Okay. Let's play that one. Is it on topic or not?
Yeah, it's on topic.
Okay. Let's do that one. And then I'll read why I love smaller sausages.
Hi, my name is Charlie. I was listening to your last podcast where you're trying to explain that some women like smaller penises. I actually used to work in a sex shop, and the most common dildos we sold were the smaller range, a little bit more thicker, girthier, but we couldn't keep those in stock. So I would tell men who would come in, who were worried about their length or how big they were, that's what we sold out of the most. And I, was telling the truth. It was, we couldn't keep those in stock at all because, women's vaginal canal is only so long. They did prefer the girthier ones though. I'm going to throw that one in, but, I thought that'd help keep them high and tight. Have a good day.
Yeah. So, I mean, I've said it on stage that, you don't really want to marry Mr. Big Dick. I think you want to, for the long haul, you want a guy who's like fucking regular, you know? Imagine like fucking throwing grenades in your cooch every week, like being married. It's just like, it's too much. Average to below average.
Yeah, it's too rich. It's like, do you want a fucking porterhouse steak every night? No.
Every night.
You want it to be special.
Yeah, or just like...
It's a sometimes treat.
It's, yeah, exactly. Yeah, so I agree. I mean, I don't know. I don't know. That's just my opinion. Like, it doesn't have to be like massive. Okay, hi, mommy. So I am indeed one of those women listening who enjoy a smaller portion of man meat. I do like penetrative sex. It is, in fact, it's fantastic. However, for me, I only really can enjoy finger blasting. This is because for some reason I am unusually tight. The same problem. Fingers are small enough to fit and feel good, whereas larger things, aka monster cocks, hurt no matter how much foreplay is involved. Most of the time, sex ends in bleeding and being sore for days following. Oof. I've talked to my doctor and she's confirmed that basically it's perfectly healthy and normal. I'm just a little tighter than average. I dread the day I have to push a kid out of that Chinese finger trap. Bottom line is, a smaller dick makes the experience much more enjoyable. Luckily, I found my perfect match, a partner with phimosis, too tight foreskin, which means sex is also pretty painful for him. We have a good time working with mediums other than just plain old cock and puss sex, and we love it. Anyways, piss on me, beat me, Angela. There you go. So the guy with phimosis, with a too tight foreskin, will go with a girl who has a tighter than average vagine. There's somebody for everyone. There you go.
Two puzzle pieces.
You know, and also, too, I think sometimes we get hung up on, and I hate to be this person even using these phrases, but heteronormative sex. Most, you know, and that's because most heteros have normative sex, meaning normal peener in vag, meow, 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 Bob is your uncle, it's done. A lot of people are doing other stuff. So there you go. Here's another email. Hi, mommy. Responding to your recent podcast on discussion on small penises. I've been with my boyfriend for 6 years. The first time we were in the throes of passionate lovemaking, I pulled off his pants to find, well, not the biggest dick. He doesn't have a micro penis, but I would say it's a smidge under average. Although I was a little disappointed at first, I found myself not missing the larger dicks I had known and loved before. So here's two reasons why I can say I love a small dick. Number one, my blowjob game is strong. It's so much easier to give baller blowies with a smaller penis. And now I have become a self-proclaimed deep throat champ. Number two, my boyfriend rocks my world in the sack. I think because of his deficit, he works a little harder to make sure I am satisfied and definitely compensates in other ways. All I have to say is I think dudes with big dicks are way lazier because they expect the piece to do the work for them. Keep it high and tight, Ashley. Well, that's a really interesting observation, too.
Okay, Ashley.
Okay, Ashley. Yeah. Wow. Well, there you go. That's interesting. Why did I just think of Dr. Drew? Oh, I love this idea. So this goes out to all the gentlemen with smaller units. There's a lot of women out there that love it. Try not to be hung up on it. And if you do have you can compensate women in many other ways. This is much like that wonderful piece of wisdom Dr. Drew and I talk about all the time to women. When a man can't sustain an erection or isn't interested in sex, women blame themselves. And it is just silly because Dr. Drew says 99% of the time it is a physiological problem. It is unrelated to the woman. And we always internalize these things. So guys listening, do not internalize the problem if you do have a small peener. There can be things done. Now, Chris Larson, so many people are writing and asking about your pet rat. How's it going? How's Henry doing these days?
Oh, his name's Henry now?
I figured you've named him. You're just so comfortable with him living
with him. His name keeps changing.
What was his name last time? Ratsy? Ratso?
I thought it was Bruce.
Bruce!
Yeah, Bruce flew the coop, I guess. I haven't seen him in a minute. Maybe he died of natural causes.
I hope so.
Maybe he just got bored. I don't know.
Okay.
But I suppose that's one way. News. But yeah, that's good news. No news is good news for now.
Okay.
He'll probably show up again, or his offspring will, and I'll have to deal with that.
Well, here's my gift to you as a member of Studio Genes. Tom and I have offered to exterminate the rat for you. Merry Christmas. Oh. My gift to you. Okay, so if Bruce shows up again, let me know, and we'll exterminate him. We'll end his life prematurely. rat genocide. I fucking hate rats. I hate them. I fucking hate them.
Yeah, they're not nice.
They're the worst. I'm being rat uninclusive.
Yeah, you're being rat phobic.
Rat phobic. I forgot that one. What are the follow-up voicemails? Oh, the bathroom coffee. A lot of you guys were really upset about my drinking bathroom coffee. Look, as we know, Miss Christina P is made of Teflon. In terms of like my genetics, my ability to tolerate levels of bacteria, shit don't faze me. But go ahead. What's the advice here? Let me guess. You're nasty.
Hey, Mommy, I just had a response to the guy with the low and loose jeans a couple weeks ago trying to say that you couldn't have your coffee in the bathroom. Just shut the lid before you flush, and then the poop won't go anywhere. Live Life 365, you bet I'm coming up in May. Bye.
It's an interesting observation. However...
Yeah, have you ever put the lid down?
No.
I've never...
Do you do that? Does anyone really do that?
I feel like no.
I know, like why would we...
What's the lid for?
I know. I never sit on the toilet with the lid on.
Right.
I never put the lid down.
And like, even if you do put the lid down, who puts it down before flushing?
God, that's such a good point, Nadav. What are toilet lids for?
Well, I mean, I think we know what they're for. It's just no one uses them that way.
Nobody uses it.
To keep the poop in the toilet, you know?
God damn. To keep the poop in the toilet. Well, and I mean, not to brag, but I'm gonna, because my shit game is tight and strong, and I don't mind bragging, but that Toto toilet we have, dude, it opens for you. It's like, I'm ready for your caca. Like, it talks to you.
Oh, then it closes itself.
Motion sensing. Yeah, but it doesn't close before it flushes. No, it stays open. And it's like, yeah, but listen, bro, there's caca on everything. Like, don't they?
I don't think that's true.
They test, yeah. Here's my theory. Everything is filthy all the time. Anything that's like a mutually shared space, door handles, airplanes, like your phone, it's covered in caca, hand particles. Yes.
I don't.
You want me to test it? It's covered in caca.
People would be getting so much more sick all the time.
They do. They get sick all the time.
No, but there's diseases you get specifically from ingesting caca, and people don't get it all the time.
Yeah, but that's what stomach problems are, and people get diarrhea. It's because they've ingested caca sprinkles on their salad.
Oh my god! Every time?
Not every time, but a lot of the times. Every time someone says, "I have diarrhea," "I have stomach problems," it can be from caca in your food.
Oh my
god!
It could be.
Do I have to call a medical doctor?
Yes, you do.
I'm not gonna do it right now. Dr. Jessica Hockman, you're listening. Am I right? Is there shit flex on everything? More, there's caca everywhere. People,
every time you have diarrhea, you've eaten
not,
shit.
Not every time. No. But I'm saying the majority of people that think they have a stomach flu, it's actually food poisoning caused by bacteria in the food, caca. Come on.
Okay.
I'm telling you, fool. Right. Okay. Let's see. What should we get into? Let's do some What Would Christina P's Do's. This is fun. And I like Krzyzewski.
You got mom questions? CP's got mom answers.
Oh my God.
What would Christina P do?
Oh my God. Okay, are you ready? Oh, Mommy, I have a problem. I've been with my boyfriend. Oops, sorry. I gendered my partner for 7 years. I always knew he didn't agree on some politics, but we just don't discuss. However, recently I found out he's a complete fucking nut job who won't get vaccinated because it's a scam and Moderna is using saline for the first injection and blah, 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 conspiracy dumb shit. How the hell do I continue a relationship with such a fucktard? Can a relationship survive when you live on opposite ends of a flat earth? See you April 2nd, Amanda. Oh, good, Amanda. You know what's interesting, Amanda, is that this pandemic has, I think this pandemic has made me realize how many people I know that are also into conspiracy theories. And I've also been really surprised to find that I don't share common views with a lot of people I was associating with. And I think this conspiracy stuff is coming out of the anxiety of this year, too. It's obviously heightened. And I'm going to give him, well, let's see, does she cite any other conspiracies? I'm going to give a lot of people a pass on this year, on their behaviors, on their beliefs, on everything, because it's been a fucking wackadoo year. And if you've known this guy for 7 years, you said you haven't agreed on some politics, but you recently found out he's a complete nut job with the vaccine stuff. I mean, this could just be a reaction to a very wonky year. I wouldn't judge him so harshly, but I mean, God, okay, here's where it gets to be a problem. It's not when you're just married together. It's when you have kids. That's when this kind of stuff becomes a problem. Like, who cares? You're dating a guy. He's your boyfriend. Who gives a shit? He believes in UFOs and you don't, or he's a Democrat, you're Republican, whatever. Big whoop. The real deal is when you have children and it's time to vaccinate your baby.
Right.
Yeah.
Now it's affecting, like, you personally in your life.
That is huge. And I always say on the show, I'm going to say it again, if you want to get married and have children, it is a lot easier to be on the same page with religion, with vaccines, with science, with politics, with tradition, blah, blah. It'll just make your life easier. It really will. So if you want to get married, I would sit down and have a really long conversation with everything else that you've been avoiding for the last 7 years. Religion, money. Talk about money before you get married. What's his debt? What's your debt? What's his relationship to credit, to his spending habits? Like, all of that stuff is the stuff that people get divorced over. So, again, if you're not planning on marriage and kids, big deal. Who cares? He's a wackadoo anti-vaxxer. Find it amusing and continue fucking him. Right? I mean, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean,
am I way off on that one?
No, it's like, if you're having fun, you know, keep having fun. But I mean, it's also like, it feels like she's crossing a threshold where it's like, you know, this is too crazy for me to actually just dismiss.
Oh, right.
So maybe, I mean, you know, but I think you're also onto something in saying that this was a wild year for everybody.
Yeah, everyone's off the radar.
Like, I think everyone has gotten weirder this year.
Yeah.
And so, you know, maybe bring it up first personally, and if it looks like the reaction's really bad, like, maybe, like, if you see yourself being with this person for a while, maybe couples counseling is a thing to look into.
Yeah, and I would also look at other things in his mental health. You know, I think people that are heavy into conspiracies and stuff, like, that could be indicative of other mental illness stuff happening.
But sometimes that stuff is just fun.
It's just fun. Yeah, exactly. Like, is it really that he's like, is he tinfoil hat nutty? Is he, you know, is he putting tinfoil on the windows and shit? Or is he just like, hey, this is a silly thing I like. I like reading about. So, okay. Next one. Big tit pain. Hey, mommy, I have kind of a strange question. My friend has been saying for years that her back has been killing her because she has a lot of weight on her chest. I figured I would ask the queen of big-titted animals, do you have any suggestions for her? I've heard you talk about how much you struggle due to trying to make those big tits fart and wondering if you had any suggestions. With love and farts, Louie. 100. I have so many. Okay. Number one, the biggest way to help your big-titted animal friend is get her a perfectly fitting bra. Now, don't go to Victoria's Secret. Don't go to these little titty places. You need to go to Nordstrom. You need to have like an old Russian woman take her measurements, measure her the chest and then the meat cup, how much meat you got to fill. And then there are bras and brands that are specifically made for big titted animals like me. She can get, Wacol is a great brand, WACOAL. They make big titted animal bras. There's many. There's so many now. You have to spend money. It's expensive. So you're talking $65 to $70 a bra, but it is worth it. Next, posture. The problem with big-titted animals like us is that you slouch. I slouch constantly, and I am catching myself all the time, and I straighten up. And what's really helped me is exercise and Pilates. Pilates. I do these arm exercises where I strengthen my shoulders, the back muscles here. So when you strengthen those up, you tend to be more, your spine straightens out, and there you go. Also, I mean, look, my genetics just dictate that I got big old cans. I have had these tits since I was in eighth grade. They just came out, even when I weighed, you know, fucking 100 pounds. So losing weight can help a little, really. But once you got that tit meat, it is just whatever. But yep, invest in good bras and invest in Pilates or something to train the back, the shoulder, so that she is upright and not hunched over. And always wear a bra around the house, a soft bra. They're called like home bras. Like when you get home, take off your heavy duty one and wear a like around the house bra. What are those called? Bralettes, a good bralette, so that you're never just... Yeah, bralette. I'm trying to say this. There's a few great brands I love. Oh, Spanx makes a good one. Yes, wear a bralette. Like, you never want to just walk around with your hangers flopping in the wind. That's going to fuck you up. So wear a bralette when you're not wearing your hefty outdoor lady bra. And there you go. That's my suggestion. Support. Always support those tits. Do we have any voicemails? Let's hear that one too. Go ahead.
Hi, Mommy. Hi, I have a what would Christina do for you. As a comedian, you fly a lot. Yeah. So me and my husband are taking my 9-month-old to Florida on a family vacation. My husband has severe anxiety about the plane and about flying with a kid on the plane. Mm-hmm. He's all worried about if she cries and it bothering other people, whereas I'm more worried about the plane crashing. So... Can you ease my mind about this a little bit for both of our parts? I don't know if you've flown with children before,
yes,
but if you have any
nightmare.
Tips on how to fly with children, any tips would be appreciated. Bye, Mommy.
Bye, Mommy Jeans. Okay, so 9 months old is a different story than when they're 4 and they can just be glued to an iPad the whole time. Yes, both Tom and I shared your husband's anxiety about traveling with babies. Here's what you can do. We tried the overnight flight since I don't know where you're coming to go to Florida, depending on how long it is. You may want to consider an overnight flight if and only if your kid is easygoing about sleeping in public places. If your kid is an easy sleeper, an easy napper, I would consider a red eye. And that way, like, they'll just fall asleep in your arms. Easy. Okay. For takeoff and landing, you're going to want to give the kid a baba because... Their ears are smaller than ours and it hurts them a lot more in takeoff and landing, the pressure in their ears. So give them something to suck on. Milk obviously is great so that they will have that takeoff landing. So 9 months old, ugh, that's the trickier one. In terms of the other people around you, I have seen things where parents make like little baggies of like candies for their neighbors around them. And they're like, I'm sorry, I'm flying with a 9-month-old. And like you hand this, it's like an offering of a gift before you fly. Like, dude, I'm sorry.
That's a great idea.
Yeah. And be like, I'm sorry, I have a 9-month-old. The good thing is you can board early in some airlines. I would buy preferential boarding if you can afford that. So that way, like usually on Southwest, it's like an extra, $40 and you can get on the plane before anyone else. So you can get settled. And that way you won't have anxiety about like getting on the plane with all your shit. If you can, I don't like to travel heavy. I hate traveling with the fucking car seat and the stroller. If you can get out of doing that, that would be great too. Send diapers in advance. Don't travel with the diapers. Mail the diapers in advance so that they're at your destination.
But then how many do you bring any on the plane?
Yeah, because you're going to have your diaper bag. Mm. Yeah, bring that on the plane. 9 months old, it's a little easier. You want to try to mail. And like if you can, get a pack and play at the location you're at versus carrying a pack and play. It's a whole fucking... Traveling with kids, babies is tough, kids. Kids, older, much easier. You're just going to get that kid an iPad. iPads and lollipops. By the time they're four, easy, easy peasy, lemon squeezy. And that's it. That's what I got for you. Sucks, though. I don't like traveling with littles. I think once they're four, it's like way fucking easier. But infants gave me so much anxiety to fly with an infant because I don't want to ruin everybody's plane ride. And it sucks because some people do mad dog you. I remember when we got on the plane with our two children one time and we're coming back from Hawaii. And my kids, of course, they're kids. And they were like, oh my God, mom, this is so exciting. They're just excited to be on a plane. And I could hear the guy behind us going, oh shit. And then he got up and moved to the other area. And I was like, I get it. What am I going to do?
Right.
What am I going
to
do?
But if I was on the plane and like I see like a kid next to me, I'm like, oh great, it's going to be one of these.
Of course.
But then the parent was just like, hey, here's like a bag full of Reese's Pieces or however the hell you say it, right?
Fucking foreign.
But like then if the kid started crying, I'm like, no, you know what? This is what the bag was about. They're having a rough time. Yeah. They're having just as much anxiety as I probably hate. Like we probably hate this the same amount, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. They can't sit still. Kids have a really hard time. Yeah. You just try to bring them toys. I mean, when the kids are a little older. So that's for infants. Now, if you have a 2-year-old, again, they're not always into the iPad yet. What I would do when Ellis was about 2 is I go to the 99-cent store. And you buy a backpack. You have a backpack. And then you go to the 99-cent store and you just buy a bunch of stuff that 2-year-olds are interested in. You know, the cheap makeup, the dollar makeup, so that they can just dig their nails into it and, you know, play that. Strainers, kitchen tools, whatever they have at that 99-cent store. And, like, you just keep giving them one object after another. That's another good one for, like, younger kids so that they just have an object every hour or whatever, 2 hours. Every 15 minutes. Yeah, there you go. Okay. Mom hacks. We haven't done these in a while. I love these. Hey, Christina, I'm a mom of 3 wild boys. I have a mom hack for you. I don't know if instant oatmeal is just a Southern thing, but when the twins were about 2 years old, they became obsessed with eating it every morning for breakfast. The problem was that they have zero patience. The second that the oatmeal was ready, they would guzzle it up, burning their mouths every time. After watching my little R-worded toddlers torture themselves daily, I decided I needed to intervene since they clearly lacked common sense. I grabbed a container of yogurt from the fridge and added a scoop to the oatmeal and mixed it in. It instantly cooled down the food while adding a little extra nutrition. Very good. It's been a hack that I've used ever since. Since I realized that by doing this, I've created a Pajitsky effect when one of my 8-year-olds went to make himself a bowl of oatmeal and called out, Mom, I can't make oatmeal because we are out of yogurt. I chuckled to myself and said, sorry, son, I'll buy some more. One day, he and his brothers will realize you can, in fact, eat oatmeal without yogurt. But this one is for them to figure out. Until then, I'll keep supplying the yogurt. Thanks, Mom. You love the show. That's good. Also, we had the same problem. Obviously, toddlers want to eat everything hot. Just put some cold milk in the oatmeal, too. I've done that. Like, just pour a little cold milk and then mix it up. Put ice cubes in soup. I've done that a bunch with Julian.
I remember when I was growing up, because my mom would make porridge and stuff for us and oatmeal. And it's like, oh, is it too hot? And then you just put it in the freezer for like 30 seconds.
That works.
I mean, it tricked us. Like, it was just like, yep, that's cold enough now. And then we would just eat it like normal.
What's so funny, when you're a kid, oh my God, I'll never forget. I still will do this. The fucking Stouffer's French bread pizza. You know what I'm talking about?
Mm-mm.
Google Stouffer's French bread pizza. Oh, God. If I didn't care about my weight, this is what I would eat. This is what I... Oh, death row meal. This nasty shit French bread with the fake pepperoni on there.
Ugh.
This is straight latchkey kid delicious. Now, to me, first of all, if my dad let me get this,
it's out of stock.
What? It's out of stock.
It's out of stock. It's so popular.
It's the French bread pizza. For those of you listening and grew up with latchkey kids, this is one of the, this is to me a high ticket item, a very bougie item. Stouffer's French bread pizza with pepperoni. I mean, first of all, I probably could eat 4 at a sitting. I don't know how or why.
Four boxes?
four fucking whole, so that whole French bread pizza is like a foot, like a little less than a foot long. And you put that shit in the oven, and the patience it took to even wait to put that in a regular oven versus the microwave was like Herculean as a kid. And then it comes out of the oven, hot AF, like piping hot, because the sauce gets really hot. It's like lava. And then like, I just could not wait to devour that thing. Every time I had a Stouffer's French bread pizza, it would just massacre the roof of my mouth, massacre, to where like, you know, when like the strings hang down in your gums because you fucked it up so bad, like in between your front teeth. You never fucked your teeth up, like your gums that bad.
I had strings of cheese coming out of it. What?
No. So like I have, and plus the Stouffer's, the French pizza bread is so crusty and hard that like you shred up your gums.
Oh.
Yeah, like you bite into it.
No, I've never done that.
You've never cut your gums, like the roof of your mouth and your teeth?
Off of hot pizza?
Any hot pizza, Stouffer's French bread.
Nah, I don't think I've done that.
God, there is something like, God, you know when you eat crappy things in childhood and like it's how you're hardwired from now on? Like that, I dream about eating that French bread pizza now to this day, and that is like my top tater tots, French bread pizza, macaroni and cheese, which I make for my kids incessantly, like all these white trash foods. I fucking love Salisbury steak, microwave, frozen dinner. Like I don't even know what Salisbury steak is. Isn't it just ground beef?
It's a fucking hamburger without a bun.
It's Salisbury steak, bitch. Look it up. Let's see what's in that. What is Salisbury steak? It is so, and I know that it's bad and it's gross, but because I grew up eating all this trash, I love, like that meal on the right, the all recipe, like, bruh.
Bro, that's a fucking hamburger, but that's a hamburger with gravy on it.
Shit is so good. This is fire, bro. Like, this is my childhood right here.
It's ground beef in the shape of a stick.
Dude, Google budget gourmet Salisbury steak. So when I lived with my dad, he was a single dad, and he never really cooked. He would only make, he could make two things, grilled cheese sandwiches and SpaghettiOs out of the can. There it is. Oh, my God. There's my whole childhood living with my father. This they changed the packaging. This wasn't the original. But oh, and banquet meals too, yeah. So my dad would take me grocery shopping every now and then, and I would just load up on microwavable frozen dinners. And this was like, oh, the Salisbury steak. This is the best entree in my opinion. This and Lean Cuisines, I love those, budget gourmets. Oh my God, my mouth was watering just looking at that Salisbury steak. I'm so trashy. I am straight trash. I love it. Oh, I love it. What's the trashiest? I mean, I know you like Wingstop, but what's like the thing you'd be so embarrassed to tell people? Like, dude, this is my jam. Like,
I feel like anytime I tell people that I'm into Baja Fresh, they're like,
ugh! I love Baja. I love it.
Yeah, that El Pollo Loco. I love that shit.
I never got into that one.
That was like,
it's good.
It was when mom was a little lazy and she's like, you know what? I'm going to go pick up some food. Yeah. And it was either Baja Fresh or El Pollo Loco.
I love Baja. Baja Fresh makes me violently ill every time.
Oh, yeah, me too. But it reminds me of home.
Violently ill. Like, I will get diarrhea so fast. As I'm eating it, I will feel ill. And, like, the last bite of that burrito, I'm like, I feel sick. I want to die.
I'm hurting the whole week after that. It hurts for days.
But it's good. It tastes really good. Oh,
so good. Yeah. Those nachos. Ooh.
Oh, shit. Okay. I love McDonald's. I mean, who doesn't, though? Like,
yeah, I
get
still
your
fuck
life.
With that shit, dog. Yeah. You ever do the McGangbang?
No.
You get a McDouble and then you get a McChicken. And then you wrap the McDouble around the McChicken. So it's like one mega sandwich.
That is so fatty.
I did it once. Yeah, it's my it's the vaccine special. I've done it. I did it once and I felt so gross. I was like, McDonald's already makes you feel not great about yourself. That really tops it though.
Yeah. Because you know what's interesting with my relationship to McDonald's? Like, I'll be so hungry And I don't even feel full after I eat it. I just feel sick. Like, I'll go from hungry to sick. Like, you don't feel good.
Yeah, at no point are you satiated.
No.
You just get less hungry.
Yeah. Yeah. Taco Bell, same, dude. I love Taco Bell. I mean, that's my jam right there.
Yeah, Taco Bell quesadillas is all right.
Fuck. But that budget gourmet, that French bread pizza, oh, man, that shit's so good. Okay, I'll move on. I'm, like, dreaming. Oh, do we have a voicemail? What would Christina P do? Or did we do that one?
No. We got one.
Okay, let's hear it out.
Oh, no, because we're on Mom Hacks now.
I know, but now you got me all curious because you're highlighted. It's my show. Do what I want.
No, but we already played that one. My bad.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Okay. Well, I've just found a way to love online shopping even more by getting cash back on what I buy using Rebate Key. I just bought a Pilates kit and I got 25% off with Rebate Key. And there are items I saw in there. You can get up to 100% of your money back on thousands of items from Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, and more. It really is bananas how much cool stuff they have on Rebate Key. And you can literally get stuff for free. I can't believe I was paying full price online for so long. This is absolutely the best way to shop online. Rebate Key is completely free to use. They don't ask for a credit card. So it's totally secure. The whole process is super easy. No more clipping coupons or sending in barcodes. I just order directly through the retailers that I choose, like Amazon or Walmart. You enter your order number and then wait for the check to arrive in the mail. It is just that easy. I'm telling you, there's no reason not to sign up for Rebate Key right now. Sign up for free today and never pay full price online again. Just go to rebatekey.com. That's rebatekey.com. Spring is just around the corner, and you know what that means? It's time to fix that lawn. Winter has ravaged our lawn. There's yellow spots and kid spots, which is why I love Sunday. Sunday is more than a lawn care product. It's a customized lawn plan that works with nature. They take out all the guesswork and the chemicals so you can grow a beautiful lawn that's better for people, pets, and the planet. And your kids, man. You don't want your kids rolling around on chemicals. It's super easy. I went to Sunday.com. I put in my home address. And their free lawn analysis tool took care of the rest in just seconds. I can't wait to get my kit. Sunday uses soil and climate data to create a tailored nutrient plan so you get all the stuff your lawn needs and nothing it doesn't. Sunday is made with ingredients that you can actually pronounce, like seaweed, iron, and molasses, so you can grow better and feel better about it. Let Sunday take the guesswork out of growing a greener, more beautiful lawn this spring. Visit GetSunday.com/WMMA to get $20 off your custom lawn plan at checkout. That's $20 off your custom plan at GetSunday.com/WMMA. Oh, God. Did you see the excitement in my life when I saw those old food things?
Yeah, dude. Are you gonna like make a big run right now? You're going to go to the market and you're going to bring a whole bunch of like, hey, guys, we're going to eat stuff from mom's childhood.
Can I tell you, my kids would be like, what? Were you poor? Like, you're... Were you homeless vagabond? Were you in a freight train?
I don't think your kids would have Trucker? Enough context to judge you.
They would not yet. But I remember at one time my dad, this was the height of my dad's like single dadness. We would go to the German, so there's a German market here in the San Fernando Valley. It's just called German Cold Cuts. Doesn't even have a name. Now, this place is so old that it's been open since 1970. I'm born in like 76 and I moved here when I was 4 and I've been going there my whole life, you know, since I was 4 years old. And the same old ladies still work behind the counter and they have the same exact there's like Hungarian things you can buy. My dad used to buy these disgusting chocolates with a cherry in the middle with the liquor around it. Do you get, you know those, right?
Oh. Does anyone actually like booze chocolates?
My dad.
Ugh.
Ugh. Ugh. I know. But the best part, so he would take me there to German Cold Cuts and he would buy, I'm like a month's worth of hot dogs.
What?
A month's worth of virschli, you say in Hungarian, virschlis, but they're just like long hot dogs. They look like Dodger dogs, and they're German hot dogs, virschli. And my dad was so proud of himself because he figured out that he could put the virschli in the freezer, and then we could have virschli all month. Bonus was that he could put the rye bread in the freezer too, and then you could have bread too with the virschli. So there were months of my childhood where I lived with my father, like that's all I would eat were like these German hot dogs in the freezer. And I'm like, my friends would come over and I'd be like, you want a hot dog? Let me just get the frozen bread and the frozen hot dog out. Like, I mean, oh my God. But they tasted good. And I still fuck with those. I still go to German cold cuts. I brought my sons and I was like, this is it. This is German cold cuts. This is your legacy, bros. You want some fucking chocolate cigarettes? They still sell those, bro. They still sell that. I got my kids some chocolate cigarettes. I was like, here you go. This is how you learn to smoke, how you learn to be cool.
Wait, legit? It's cigarettes in the it's chocolates in the shape of cigarettes?
Yes. Google German cold cuts, Woodland Hills. It's here in the San Fernando Valley. So they sell chocolate cigarettes. Now before, there it is. It's called German Cold Cuts International. Let's give them a shout out because I want them to stay open because look, 5-star rating almost. This place, I swear they've been open since before I was born. I know it. It's the same old German ladies who've been running it forever. And you get the real authentic Hungarian stuff. You get German stuff. They sell, you know, Hungarian German pickles and the sweets and the breads and it is just to die for. Yeah, look at this place. 5-star reviews. Check it out. German cold cuts. And they also make killer sandwiches. If you are in the neighborhood and you're starving, don't go to Subway. Go to German cold cuts and get yourself a fucking real cold cut sandwich.
Okay.
It's off the chain. These old broads know what they're doing. But chocolate cigarettes. Yep. I used to, that was fun. And they used to have bubblegum cigarettes where you could blow and it would blow out powdered sugar. And it looked like smoke. Here we go. That's it. Chocolate cigarettes. That's what I get them. Still sell them. Shit is so fucking dope.
God damn.
Yeah. I love them. Cigarettes are cool. I don't care what anybody says. This shit makes you look cool. Smoking's cool. I mean, I don't do it anymore because it's obviously going to kill you, but it looks cool as shit. There we go. Okay. Oh, let's do another mom hack. And then I want to get into some Pajitsky effects and then... Oh my gosh, it's late. It's 6 p.m. as we're recording this. It's practically bedtime. Okay, hold on. Oh, getting kids to eat. I'm always curious about that. Hi, Hitler. My 4-year-old niece is in a phase now where she really doesn't eat much. Oh, I hate that fucking phase. To get her to eat anything, you gotta be super creative. I had a light bulb moment while she was pushing breakfast around on her plate. I decided to let her squirt my giant, gentle dog with a water gun in exchange for a bite of breakfast. One bite equals one squirt. My dog had a ball and my niece cleared her plate. Fun and functionality. Piss on me, beat me. Fuck you, Natalia. Oh, yeah. Fuck you, Natalia. That's a new one. That's a good one. Fuck you, Natalia. Ashley. That's hilarious. Very good. Very good, Ashley. You know, I found that my kids go through those non-eating phases as well. And the first time, you know, my older boy, when he would not eat, I would just freak out and I would try to figure out any way to manipulate him into eating. And then I just figured, you know what? I mean, just like grown-ups, we go through phases of like, I don't really feel like eating. I don't want to eat. And then, you know, you go back and forth and then the next day they'll eat a bunch. So I try not to freak too hard. You know, she might love breakfast and then just not be into dinner and vice versa. So I think eventually it all evens out. And I'm also the by any means necessary mom. Like if there's a phase where my kids are only eating mac and cheese, great. They're going to eat fucking mac and cheese. I'm not going to freak out. You can just, as long as they're eating something, man, they're not going to die. Okay. I have a shoe hack for those who hate shoelaces. I hate shoelaces so much. So what I do is I don't put the shoelace through the last hole. Ooh. And I tie my shoelaces normal, but add an extra knot. Oh, snap. The reason for leaving the last hole without unlaced is so you can slip your feet in and out of the shoe without ever having to tie your shoelaces again. I've been doing this for a decade, and I promise you, it's a life changer. I've attached a picture so you can see what I mean. Lily, mind equals blown. Wow. That's a great idea. That's a great idea. I'm going to try that because it leaves just enough room. Oh, my God. What have I been doing? 44 years of my life. I'm such a fucking idiot. Okay. That's really cool, right? I'll try that shit, bro.
Hell yeah, dude.
Oh, well, let me hear this one. Hi, mommies. I have a 9-year-old daughter. She's our only kid, so allowing her to have her independence is important. My husband and I have decided to get a Gizmo Verizon watch. It allows you to call your child and track them. That's what I'm talking about. My daughter is excited about the idea of getting a cool watch, and I'm excited about her being able to enjoy her summer without being stuck inside. I love this. We have several neighbors around us that have kids at her school. Now she can walk over and not have to wait for us to get home from work. Love you, mommy. Sarah from Sodak. I don't know where Sodak is, but it sounds cool. Oh, I like this. So this is the Verizon Gizmo Watch 2. Now, I've already done some research into GPS tracking my children. Does it run on Bluetooth or Wi-Fi? I think if it runs on, you have to see what it runs on. Because the GPS, I know the last time I checked, they hadn't really figured it out entirely. I have GPS on my dog. I use the Whistle, which has just been really great. And that runs on Bluetooth, I believe. No, she's on the Wi-Fi. I don't fucking know. Anyway, very cool. Very cool. Very cool. Let's see. Oh, and interesting. Hi, mommies. I have to side with Annie. This is the Annie episode on the dishwasher. We discovered that Annie's mother only let him put a dish in the dishwasher when it was 100% clean. My mother, too. I have to side with Annie's badass mom on this one. She's 100% correct. You should not be putting dishes with visible food, etc., in the dishwasher because it will clog the filter down at the bottom of your dishwasher and fuck shit up. This is a hill I am willing to die on, and you better believe I'm training my three little jeans about this right now. Sure, you can clean that filter in the bottom of the dishwasher, and you should clean it anyway, get your life. But as a best practice, you should not be putting food-covered dishes in your dishwasher unless you want to be buying a new dishwasher all the time. The dishwasher is not some magic appliance hooked up to your garbage disposal that will grind and remove food from the dishes and the machine. Keep them high tech. See, so this leads me to question, well, then why have a dishwasher at all? You know, you've already done the task of washing the damn dish, so why have a dishwasher? I don't know. Yeah, what the fuck?
Maybe just so it gives you a little bit more peace of mind. Like, you do a precursory clean?
No, I'm cleaning my dishes twice.
No, but then, like, think about it this way. Like, would you rather clean it super good every single time by hand, or kind of do a half-ass job cleaning it, scraping all the food off, and then let the dishwasher do the rest of the job?
Oh, right. I see what you're saying. The drying part.
Right.
I hate drying.
Because otherwise,
what is the point of life?
Like, if you're putting full plates of food inside the dishwasher, that food is just going to be kicking around in there, smacking off all your clean dishes.
But they have to have invented a dishwasher that doesn't require you washing the food off. It has to exist, and I would pay a premium for that dishwasher.
Yeah, I think it's a commercial dishwasher.
Oh, I'll get one. I don't care.
Like the kind that you put like you have a tray that you load up, and then you just like slide it into it. You know,
great. God, that'd be so fucking great. Like, why don't they just make them like that? It kills me.
God damn! Imagine you have one of these fucking things.
How much is this shit? Oh my god, it's like $5,000.
Yeah, it's super fucking expensive.
Oh my god, that one's $18,000. Segura's like, yeah, let's buy it. I don't care.
Oh, that's a double. This one's 12. Jesus Christ, man.
Oh my God, these are so expensive.
No, yeah, because like these also clean your dishes in like 20 seconds.
Oh.
They're like fucking power blasters.
Dude, like how do restaurants make money? You know, you ever think about that? Like they have such crazy overheads.
Right, and you're like, if you're only getting $10 for me, how the hell is this paying for
me? How is this? The cost of the food, and you have to get rid of the food before it spoils. And then you've got an entire staff of cooks, busboys, food runner, and then server, and then the front desk lady. It's like, it's tremendous payroll. Jesus, and they're charging me, what, $15 for a fucking plate of lasagna or whatever?
Right.
They got to turn over.
It's a grind, dude.
It's a grind. It's got to be the alcohol is how they really make their money.
Oh, true. No, yeah, it's like how McDonald's, like their biggest like profit margin is when they sell soda, you know?
Is that right?
I think so. I think I remember hearing that where like their biggest expense is the cup.
Oh, wow. Wow, I guess. I mean, I know in the comedy business, like, there's the ticket, and then the reason they make you do a 2-drink minimum is, like, it's booze. They're selling you booze, and booze is a great business. I mean, bars make a lot of money, man. Yes. Alcohol is...
Sick margins on booze.
Sick margins. You, what, $20 for a bottle of vodka, and you can sell each drink, especially in L.A., for $20 each.
Yeah, you're making your money back after 2 drinks.
Dude, it's wild. Wild. Alcohol is so profitable. Fuck. I hope these bars can have stayed open through this pandemic, man.
Yeah.
The nightlife. I like the nightlife. I like to boogie. Do you know that song? On the disco.
What are you singing?
Do you like me singing?
I mean, I love your voice. I don't know what you're singing, though. I don't recognize the song.
It's a stupid disco song. I like the nightline. All right. Let's do some Pajitsky effect voicemails, and then I'll sing some more for you.
Hey, this is Tyler out of Colorado.
Hi, Tyler.
I have a Pajitsky effect, and it is now 4:20 in Colorado, and I want to eat dinner. I'm hungry, but I've always eaten dinner at 5:30 or 6 o'clock growing up at my parents' house. So now I can't decide if I eat dinner or make a snack, but if I have a snack, I don't want to ruin my dinner. But I'm realizing I can just eat dinner early, and I can have a snack later on and eat some ice cream. But that's it. Thanks, mommies. Bye.
Right?
Fuck yes.
I know.
I eat early dinner so often that when my friends eat with me, they call it na-dinner.
Na-dinner. What's your dinner time?
Like, you know, 4:30-ish, you know, on the weekends. Because, like, really, I'm mostly motivated by beating the dinner rush.
Wow. That's interesting.
Yeah, I don't want to wait, like, 45 minutes, an hour at, like, some Korean barbecue place. It's like, I'll just eat when no one else is eating.
That's such a good idea. Yeah, I thought you were going to say out of health reasons. you're like, no. No, I just like, I like to eat without people looking at me. I like to really hunker down and eat. I like to eat my dinner at 5 o'clock on the dot. And it's because the kids go to bed at like 7. So that way they eat before they go to sleep. And I don't like to go to bed full. I like to eat and then like, what? I have a light dinner.
That's my favorite way to sleep.
I know. It used to be mine too, and that's
food comas, baby.
How I gained a lot of weight. So
well, yeah, that is how I'm getting to my vaccine weight, definitely.
My favorite thing in the whole world is to eat a lot and then take a nap. Like,
oh, naps fucking wreck me, dude.
Oh, really?
It ends up fucking my entire day up. I don't think I know how to do it right.
I love to nap. Now you catch me on a Sunday and I have a brunch. And I have a little cocktail, and then I load up on food, and then I take a nap. Best.
How long are your naps, though?
Like an hour, hour and a half. And then I sleep fine at night. I'm a toddler.
See, I like try to nap. I'm like, oh, yeah, I'll sleep for like 20 minutes, and I end up having like half a full sleep where it's like, oh, shit, I woke up 4 hours later. It's dark out. My entire body doesn't know what's happening.
And then you can't go back to bed for nighttime.
Well, I mean, you know, then I just load up on the weed and I'm like, all right, we could get enough of this in me to go back to sleep.
Yeah, and then you force it chemically.
Yeah. And if that doesn't work, you just have a gigantic fucking meal, a stupid amount of sushi, and then you end up getting it in anyway.
You know? There you go. Let's do one last Pajitsky effect voicemail.
Hey, mommy, this is Kendall from Missouri, and I'm sitting here at the gas pump, and I think I have a Pajitsky effect. This is the first time in my life that I have just realized I don't have to wait for my gas light to come on before I get gas. I can get gas anytime. I don't have to keep driving around waiting for the light to come on before I'm allowed to get gas. I'm 32 years old. I'm an adult. I can just get gas whenever I want. Anyways, thought I would just contribute. Thanks. Keep them high and tight.
Right. How long did it take you to figure that one out?
Homie, I don't even understand how people, like, I was raised by my mom, and it's like, once you're at half tank, you look for a gas station immediately.
I know. I get anxiety, too.
I'd get yelled at by my mom if I let it go to a quarter tank. She's like, what are you trying to do? You trying to get fucking stranded?
I know.
Yeah, she really beat it into me. It's, at a quarter tank, I'm starting to panic looking for a gas station.
Can I tell you something? I'm more inclined that way as well. Like, one time, my fucking stepsister and I were out. And we were teenagers, and she ran out of gas on Ventura Boulevard, and we had no money on top of it. We had no money. So we had to beg for dollars. I know, it was so bad. We like, please can I have a dollar? And like everyone was like, what is wrong with you? But we begged for like, we ended up getting just $5.
Was this in
gas.
Your goth phase?
Yeah. So that was cool too. Like getting approached by two weirdo goth girls. But since that experience, I've always been hyper vigilant about filling the tank because it's bad to run out of gas. It's the worst, man.
Yeah, it's like if you don't constantly just make sure, it's like, great, now you're now this is an emergency you're dealing with for a while. You know?
Oh my God, it's the worst. Can I tell you, I'm almost inclined to go electric car just so that I hate getting gas so much. I fucking hate it. But I might go electric on my, but I can't do that in Texas. I mean, right? It's like,
why wouldn't you?
I don't know. Cause how long do they last, those Teslas? How long does it last?
It's
like 400 miles?
Something
Chris
like that.
Chris Larson, you know everything.
That's more than the average, than
that's
the
like
average tank.
Trip to San Francisco, 500 miles. I think it's like 400 to 500 miles.
Yeah. Like my gas tank, I think, is like some like a little over 300.
Oh, really? That's
something.
It?
Yeah. It's nothing too crazy.
I hate going to the gas station. And like back in the 80s, there was full service. And I remember my mom would just roll up and then some guy would come up and pump it for you. And like you just sign. And like that shit does not exist anymore. I really wish it did. It does in some states.
I think Oregon.
I don't know. But I know in Pennsylvania, you have to have there's full service only because it creates jobs for people, I'm guessing. I don't know why. But I love full service. I wish California would bring that shit back. I hate it. I have to get out of my car and then it's smelly.
Jersey and Oregon.
Oh, Jersey. How interesting. Yeah, fucking do it. Somebody, I'll pay you to do it. Don't make me touch the dirty thing and now I gotta sanitize. And you know how many times I've spilled gasoline on my shoes because I ripped the thing up? You ever do it like you click and then you...
This is a problem you constantly have.
Well, I've had it a few times where like you pull it out and there's still a drip. And then you're like, motherfucker, and now
dude, but now you get to get high off gasoline fumes for the rest of the ride.
Home. Okay. All right. Well, we got to go. That was really cool, Nadav. Stupid.
You don't like the smell of gasoline?
Love the smell of
gasoline. Yeah, all right. Get the fuck out of here, then. You like that shit.
Did you ever see that episode of My Strange Addiction where the girl was addicted to drinking gasoline?
No. Sounds like a dream.
Girl drinking gasoline, and this chick would drink. She's like, I just drink like a little sippy sip every day. And you're like, this is wild, dude. There she is, drinking gasoline.
Oh my God.
She's drinking it out of the container, you know, when you're...
Yeah, she looks like a member of 3-6 Mafia in this.
Okay. I gotta stay high. You didn't think I knew that, did you?
No, yeah, you're so fucked. Yeah, that's fucking rad.
I love that song. I like 3-6 Mafia.
My God, she's giving herself gasoline gummers. Look at that. She's trying to fucking smear that shit on her gums.
Yo, and like she meets with a doctor at one point, and the doctor is like, you realize you're burning your insides. You're eating your insides alive. Your organs will shut down if you keep doing this. And she's like, I can't stop. I just like the taste.
How can you not stop? Like, how is this something you can't stop?
I mean, I guess one would argue the same with like drugs and meth and any obsessive behavior. It's an obsessive compulsive, isn't it? Like an addiction. It's an irrational. It's always trauma. And they're like, I don't know. I don't know what's wrong with me. Oh yeah, I got molested by my uncle. You know,
but why does that make me like gasoline so
yeah
much?
What's the correlation? He was a mechanic. I don't know. Yeah. Ugh, gas.
Yeah, I remember the episode where did you see the one where the girl's like taking bleach baths and stuff?
Huh?
She's just like she loves bleach. She washes her hands in bleach. She takes bleach showers. I think she like sips on bleach a little bit.
That is so crazy.
It's wild. It's wild that they're able to survive it.
That's when you think about how resilient the human organism is. Like, even you think about us, you and I are native Angelinos, as is Zolo. Like, but when I was growing up, I don't know if you had this, but there were days so polluted in the city of Los Angeles there were smog alerts and they would tell you not to go outside today. That was in the 80s. And there was like acid rain and shit. And you're like, that's the environment my lungs developed in. Like, so toxic. I couldn't go outdoors. And you're like, yeah, I'm fine. Fine. I'm fine. I think I'm fine. I don't know. But wow, it's fucking far out. Well, anyway, write in. Let me know. Are you drinking gasoline? Is it good? Are you bathing in bleach? Tell us about it. Leave me a voicemail. Leave me an email. Where my mom's at gmail.com. 213-375-5184. If you want to leave me a follow-up, a mom hack, a Pajitsky effect, what would Christina P. do, or a mom confession. I love all of it, and I love you. And yeah, it's Scott. It's 6:15. It's practically time for me to go to sleep. I love you all. And until next time, you're my kings and queens. I said it like him. I love you all. You're my kings and queens. I love you. And until next time, stay cool, moms. Bye. Where my mom's at? Where my mom's wearing thongs, hitting bongs at? Raising kids, cleaning shits, need a long nap. Where my mom's at? Where my mom's at?